Hello and welcome to The Hop, a podcast designed to help business owners and marketers navigate the ever-changing landscape of marketing. I'm your host, Matt Taylor Farrington, and the business owner of Purple Bunny Marketing. And today I'm joined by Sam from our advertising team, and we're going to talk a little bit more around social media advertising and getting cut through and just how to kind of optimize things. So, what makes a successful social media campaign? What are the elements that we should look at?
Well, the end goal of a social media campaign is going to depend on what you're after. It could be sales or subscriptions or, you know, conversions and registering interest. So it depends, but that's the end goal. So what makes something successful is something that gets the most amount of conversions at the lowest cost.
Yes, basically. And when you say conversions, you're not just talking about actual conversions as well. You're also talking about, like, if your objective is video views, then... you know, however many cents
per view
or click, etc. Agreed. And what sort of elements are we finding at the moment that are kind of helping with the campaigns that we're running, that we're finding that are successful? Like, are we seeing video better? Are we seeing a combination of video with carousels? You know, is it just straight organics? What are we seeing?
Personally, what I've found primarily is video. That's utilizing video that's both personal, so using staff with subtitles talking about an offer, and impersonal. So an example is we have a client that has an offer that's like about $5, and one of the videos that they've made is holding up a fob to the gym and saying as much for as a cup of coffee.
Yes.
You could get this fob, right? And that's been getting a lot of leads and conversions as well lately. So and then in the background, you also want to have general static animated ads just to support it, because not everyone wants to click on a video.
That, and you don't want the same, like, as much as you want frequency on your creative, you also don't want the same piece over and over. So if you can tell it in a couple of different ways, you kind of hit that person a couple of times. Yeah,
absolutely.
Without it feeling like they're getting bombarded as well.
We call it fatigue, creative fatigue. Too many times seeing the same thing, people just switch off.
Yes, agreed.
And I do too.
All right. So how do I cut through the noise and make my social media ads stand out? What's something that I can do differently?
Well, sort of as we touched on before, you want to use a combination of creatives to prevent creative fatigue, as we just mentioned. At least to give a more real-world example, in the gym space, we found that adding that personal element, so having the staff from the gym talking in the gym that you'd be going to, is really effective. It helps people connect more with the location and the brand.
Yes.
And it gives them something to expect when they arrive, you know? Because when you arrive and you've already seen Chris, for example, talking on video, you already know Chris, you know what he sounds like. You've kind of built him up in your head a little bit, and you also know what the gym is like. So it helps a lot to have personal content depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess it reiterates for the person when they walk through the door that this is the gym.
Yeah.
No These tricks. Are the people I'm dealing with. Yeah, I'm not being duped by what I'm seeing.
Yeah, because you can tell with something stock footage, you know?
Definitely.
And it's not that stock footage is bad. It's just that sometimes you want something to be more personal.
Agreed. And I guess the offer's got to be right. You know, there's so many elements in it.
Course,
but I guess to cut through the noise, you do have to have the right offer at the right time, which is another discussion. But video-based content definitely we see as the strongest, and being personalized. And I think the other thing you've got to have is you've got to have that hook at the front of the ad to get people. But not only that, I saw the other day a static ad. Someone obviously had run out of ideas.
Right.
And they used, like, paint.
Paint.
Like the paint program on your computer.
Oh, Microsoft
and
Paint.
And they used, like, the scribbler to draw to say that this was their ad.
Oh.
And had, like, a person on it. And it just... The thing is, though, it got me to stop.
That's quite funny. I don't know if I get away with that, though.
No, I mean, we work with brands that wouldn't allow us to do that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It got me, and I was kind of like, oh.
What was it for,
okay,
if you don't mind?
That's a great question. I can't remember.
So it wasn't that good.
No, well, I think they were actually promoting something like mentoring for social media ads that.
Yeah.
Obviously, I see a lot of those. And it just kind of got me to stop because it was like, it looked like a screenshot of the paint program with the paint image. And it looked like scribbled writing. And I was just like, what is this?
That's funny, but it probably only worked once, right? Yeah. It probably only worked once.
Correct. But don't be scared to try things, though.
Oh, of course. Don't be scared to try things. One thing I did forget to mention, though, was you have to sort of make sure your budget's right. You have to be spending the right amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do you sort of want to be outbidding your competitors, especially on Google. I know we're talking about social media, but Google as well. But you need to, just to give an example, let's say you're converting forms, lead forms on Facebook at about $10 per lead.
Yes.
If you were to spend, say, $40 per day, that'd average up to about 4 leads per day, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something you have to consider.
Yes.
Is budget. It's probably the second biggest thing.
And I think at the moment we are finding Facebook, and I think all of them in particular, are getting more money hungry. But I think that's just because there's more people now. So there's more people bidding, more people bidding for the attention.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to pay more. That's the reality, unfortunately, for your content to get served over someone else's. So, and it is going to be relative to your area, your industry, whatever you're doing. So, you know, if you're unsure, seek out advice around what you should be kind of spending in that space. All right. And the last question that I have for you, and this is actually a question we got asked about, and we seem to face this as too with clients as well, is how can we increase conversion using Facebook lead forms?
Well, I kind of touched on that a little bit just before. You know, one of the bigger things, as Matt mentioned, was having the offer be right, running at the right time. So think about the time of year, think about is it school holidays or not, and your target audience. The other thing is also just having the right budget to be outbidding your competitors, to be making sure you're being shown more than they are, and to make sure that your offer is more compelling, or what you've got to offer is more compelling than what they've got.
And I think a lot of people have made it easy to fill in the Facebook lead form, which is great. Like Facebook's made it easy to fill
it's
in
very
the form.
Easy.
But people aren't going to necessarily give over their real information to give you the best kind of lead unless the offer's right. They're really serious. And I guess the other thing is it's all good for us to pump up your leads and get you these lead forms and generate them. But do you have a process on the back end to handle those leads when they come in? And are you handling them properly? I guess is the other part of that.
In terms of converting it from the leads you get from a lead form, you need to have a proper process to deal with them, whether that's something that starts as automated or whether that's you just calling them as soon as they come in. There needs to be some sort of plan in place, because you don't want to be forgetting, you don't want to be fumbling it, you don't want to be leaving it for 3 days.
Correct.
Because then they've gone cold by then.
And that's the thing. I think, you know, we've had some clients who over the Easter long weekend left some lead campaigns running. And now they're finding that they can't get in touch with those leads. And that's because on the Friday, they were in that mindset. And then, you know, by Monday, Tuesday, they had cooled off a little bit. So I do think it's important. And, you know, there's all sorts of things you can implement. We've talked about before on the podcast. You know, whether it's shooting back a link to book a time to come in. You know, if you're a gym, come in and inspect the gym, book a time, you know, those sorts of things. You know, or book a call, you know, whatever it might be. But there's all sorts of ways that you can do to engage that lead as fast as you can as well.
You can set up all sort of automated processes that makes it easier, makes people feel like they're being paid attention to, even on holidays. Because obviously, you know, we're not working, so we can't call anyone. But
and AI too, like these days. There's so many bots and so many things that you can integrate where it can maybe potentially pre-answer some of those questions that consumer has, so that by the time they do get to you, you've already kind of answered a lot of their stuff, and it's just basically converting that lead to whatever it might be.
But a real person needs to talk to them at the end of it.
100%.
A real person always needs to come in.
100%. Great. Perfect. All right. Well, that's all we had to talk today regarding social media advertising and I guess lead performance and how you can better convert and sort of serve your ads. So thanks for coming in, chatting to me about
it.
All right. Perfect. So stay tuned to The Hop, helping you to get your marketing hopping.